Stand with me, turn to page 114, and as I read the first 13 verses of Numbers 20, in honor of God's word, we stand and we will listen. Page 114, Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 to 13. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates. There is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" And then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he was proved holy among them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, in our family, Christmas music starts before Thanksgiving. Decorations have to wait, but the music starts, and there is nothing I can do about that. And I try to fight for carols, actually Christian Christmas carols, but there's only so much I can do. But there's one song, that gets me, actually gets to me every time I hear it. And I try to press forward or skip ahead or change it every time I hear it. And I mean, no offense to you if it happens to be your favorite. But the holiday season, that Thanksgiving, between Thanksgiving and Armenian Christmas, it is definitely, in my humble opinion, not the most wonderful time of the year. I know the kids will be jingle-belling, and there'll be parties for hosting and marshmallows for toasting and caroling out in the snow. And there'll be much mistletoeing, and hearts will be glowing. And everyone telling you, be of good cheer, because it's the most wonderful. No, it's not. I don't buy it. I don't buy it for 1 minute that it's this 6 week, 7 week period is the most wonderful time of the year. Actually, statistically, we are entering the loneliest time of the year. It's the hardest time. If you've ever lost anyone, this is the worst time of the year. This is the hardest. If you don't have family or loved ones close by, hardest time of the year. Everybody else is celebrating, and there you are. It can be daunting to face the pressure of all the gift-giving if you're on a tight budget, or if you have the fear of ushering in the new year with hundreds or thousands of dollars of debt. Leases are up. Rents go up. Seasonal work ends. And this time of year, if you've got difficult or broken relationships, It's highlighted. It's as if those big halogen lights are just beaming on you and the difficulty of those relationships. Not to mention fog if we get it. Bah humbug. No, I'm not Scrooge. I am not, and I'm not even Grinch. I actually love Christmas. I love it. But I love the Christian faith and Christ more. See, we're called to love Christ more than anything else, even Christmas. Even Christmas. See, I love the fact that our relationship with Christ can enable us to face reality, and that we don't need our lives to somehow resemble a Hallmark movie. Well, everyone's smiling, and it just all works out wonderfully at the end. Isn't that great? Give me your best fake smile. Aw, isn't that sweet? That's not real life. It's really not real life. And while it may make for enjoyable holiday entertainment for some, if you actually, or if I actually expect life to be that way, especially at this time of year, you are just inviting disappointment to come blasting through your front door like a semi-truck. If you expect happiness and those marshmallows a-toasting to be what really happens, you're going to be tempted to abandon your faith, and you're actually going to be tempted to think that God somehow is not faithful to his promises and that he has abandoned you. I mean, everybody else has smiles on their faces. Everybody else is having the most wonderful time of the year, but you? And you might even go so far as to think that there's something wrong with you, or that God thinks there's something wrong with you. Because if his blessing was on you, it would be wonderful. And it would be the most wonderful time of the year. So what I love about knowing Christ is that he can handle whatever we face in this fallen world. And walking by faith in him, we can actually experience contentment and even robust confidence, even if things aren't going the way we want, even when real life isn't happy and jolly. With Christ, we're not forced to put our heads in the sand and smile and pretend that everything's fine. See, there's an expression in the Catholic and the Episcopal Church, let's see if I can get this, that at Easter, the community gathered together will repeat together, actually it's a pronouncement of triumph, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ is coming again. Can you say that with me? Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ is coming again. Wow, you sound great. Let's do that again. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ is coming again. That is our call of triumph every Easter. And I want to just adapt it a little bit for Advent. And we'll start it with Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ is coming again. And it captures the two bookends of Advent. One, that Christ has come, but also the strong flow of Advent is looking to his return. So Christ has come, yes, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ is coming again. Can you do all four with me? Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ is coming again. And we'll be saying that repeatedly. Christ has come. Christ has come. Look at Moses. He's going to be our example of how life doesn't always work the way we want it to. I mean, did you catch what happened in the very first verse of chapter 20? Badvili Mugo alluded to it last week as you went through Psalm 90. The first month, they're in the desert of Zin. They stayed at Kadesh. And there it is, six words. There Miriam died and was buried. Remember who Miriam was? Yes, she did. She was a part of one of the most recent rebellions, but we'll recognize that. But you know who she was, right? That was Moses' older sister. Who was it that connected with Pharaoh's daughter to rescue Moses out of the Nile? It was Miriam. Miriam was with him for his first 40 years. He was in the desert. And then she came out with the Israelites from slavery. See, as Christians, we can face reality and we can face loss. Let's see if we can get this. There we go. We can face loss. See, can you imagine losing someone who you've known your whole life? Actually, some of you don't need to imagine it because you've experienced it. They have been a part of your life since you can remember being alive. And in this fallen world, people die. Always at the wrong time. Always at the wrong time. It could be young. They could live full lives, but it's always the wrong time. You gonna play a Hallmark movie for that one? You gonna say, be of good cheer? No. As followers of Christ, we can face loss. Why? Because Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ is coming again. See, this is what it means to be a follower of Christ, is to be anchored not just in platitudes, not just in well wishes, but in the historical reality that Jesus Christ was born. Christ has come. He didn't come on a throne. He came, humbled himself, became a servant, became just like us, became a servant to death on a cross. But then he rose from the dead. But he didn't just leave us, he gave us his spirit. But he didn't just give us his spirit. He's coming back. He's coming back. If you have lost someone this year, or if the absence of that person is particularly poignant at this time of year, no. Christ is coming again. You can face that loss with tears, with deep sorrow, because you know that's not the end. It's not the end. And we don't have to pretend. Yes, we can hurt, but there's more. See, we can also face failure. Moses gets the people, they're complaining again. And now it's the same old story. This time, though, they're not complaining about milk and honey. They want the grain, the figs, the vines, and the pomegranates. And I think I would be with this group. I'd rather have grain, figs, grapevines, and pomegranates than milk and honey, but that's just me. But they're asking for water, and that's really not that unreasonable when you think about it. But their rebellion, they're at it again. They're complaining again. Moses, you bring us out here. And I don't know if it's because his sister just died or if it's because God doesn't seem to get as angry as he had previously. Remember the previous probably six or seven times, it's like Moses is trying to bring God back from the ledge. Remember how many times God has said, out of the way, Moses, let me just kill him and we'll make a new nation for you. And he's like, no, please don't, please don't, please don't. You know, the people are going to think that you couldn't keep your word. Your reputation will be ruined. Okay, all right, we'll let them live. But they're going to be... But this time, God doesn't say anything. God just says, take the staff, speak to the rock, I'll give them water from the rock. You'll actually give them water from the rock. You just say it. And what did Moses do? He took the rod. Step one was good. And I love how it says it. He took the rod just as God had commanded him. Good job. You ever do that? You ever start right? God gives you a command. You start it right. Okay, here we go. But I think he had had enough. But again, maybe because God wasn't expressing his anger, maybe it was because his sister has just passed. But Moses, instead of speaking to the rock, who does he speak to? Speaks to the people. And really not the most gentle, is he? You rebels. You rebels. And maybe it's just me, but I feel his grip tightening on that rod. Anybody else? It's getting tight. And I don't know if the rock was up high and he had to get up on his toes and give it a whack, or if it was down low and he... But he hit the rock. God had told him to do what? Speak to it. He smacked it. And in the... Once again, the amazing grace of God, God still gives the water. You ever disobeyed God and he still takes care of you? He still comes through for you, even though you're flat out disobedient? What kind of God loves us? The merciful one. He smacks the rock. God says, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. What do you do when you fail? What do you do when either someone or life confronts you, or God through the Holy Spirit or through Scripture confronts you with failure? What do you do? Do you sort of shrink back in shame and, oh, man, I always do this. I'm stupid. Can't believe God loves me. Do you just turn that inward and start beating yourself up? Or do you realize, this is me? I'm a child of God, but yes, I am disobedient. I am faithless. Please don't be so surprised. Don't be so surprised when you sin. I mean, some of us really are surprised. Right here in front of the line, I can't believe I did that. And everyone else is like, really? We absolutely believe you did that because we know you. Don't be so surprised. In your failure, cry out, Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ is coming again. Say that with me. Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ is coming again. Your failure is not the end of the story. His forgiveness is really the core of the story, but the end of the story is there will be a day when you and I are conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ when he comes back. Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ is coming again. So we can face our failure. We can also face disappointment. I mean, can you imagine Moses hearing from God that he doesn't get to take them into the land? This is 40 years of his life. And if that sort of seems crazy to you, a third of his life. Picture a third of your life just gone. You don't get what you started out for. God says no. You didn't treat me as the only person in the universe who's absolutely faithful, whose word is gold, even if people are driving you crazy. See, the people pushed him over the edge. In his anger, he loses his faith, doesn't believe that God's going to come through, and his greatest hope, his purpose, his goal for 40 years is absolutely crushed. That's disappointment. How about you? What are you disappointed about? Where are you facing disappointment right now in your life? See, because we live in a world where it is not fair, we don't always get our way, and sometimes our disappointment is a direct result of our sin. What do? Some of us curse God. Some of us accuse him of wrong. Some of us resort to, why me? And believe it or not, this next 6 weeks for so many people is filled with disappointment. They don't get a Christmas card from someone who they've always gotten Christmas cards from. What happened? What's going on? Someone hasn't called. What, did I do something? Why? You reflect back. It's like, well, wait a minute. What? This year, it just, what's it amounted to? And there's disappointment. And again, if your faith is in Christmas, you've got nothing, you've got nowhere to go except it's the most wonderful time of the year. And you have to deny reality. But see, in the face of our disappointments, would you say it loudly? Christ has come. See, this is real life. This is the life into which Christ was born to be our Savior King. Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ is coming again. This is Advent. This is Advent. Advent is a stark contrast to advertising in the Christmas season, the holiday season, and I'm not even going to worry about if you say Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas. That's not the point. The point is Advent. Advent. For the church, for centuries, has been the season of waiting and preparation for Christ's coming, remembering Christ's second coming. It's a time of admitting that without Christ, life is not what it should be, and it's only his presence now by the Holy Spirit and our hope in his return that enables us to make it and to thrive in this fallen world. Real quickly, I just want to finish up this chapter. They come to Edom, and Moses is this super polite guy and says, look, we'd like to go through Edom. We're going into the promised land. God brought us out of Egypt. And Edom is they're the descendants of Esau, so that's Jacob or Israel's brother. That whole little family squabble gets played out here. And now all they want to do is go up the road. That's all they want is go up the road. We won't take any water. We won't touch your crops. Just let us go up the road. No. Well, no, maybe you didn't understand. We're not going to touch anything. We're just going to be moving right on through. I mean, really? No. And then they come out with their army. Again, that never happens to us, right? We never have other people blocking our desires. Yes, we do, because that's the world we live in. They have to turn around. God does not give them permission to conquer Edom. They have to go and they have to take a detour. Anybody feel like they're on a detour right now? You know where God wants you to go, but you just feel like, man, am I going another lap into some unknown? I don't know what's going on. See, and then to cap it all off, God calls Aaron home. This is how the chapter ends. At Mount Hor, near the border of Edom, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Aaron will be gathered to his people. He will not enter the land I give the Israelites, because both of you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah. Get Aaron and his son Eleazar and take them up to Mount Hor. Remove Aaron's garments and put them on his son Eleazar, for Aaron will be gathered to his people, and he will die there. Moses did as the Lord commanded. Moses removed Aaron's garments and put them on his son, and Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. He's lost his sister, and now his brother. And he's more than a brother, right? Who is Aaron? Who has Aaron been for Moses? He's been his best friend. He's been the one who's done everything with him. It's Moses and Aaron, Moses and Aaron, Moses and Aaron. And now Aaron's gone. See, these might be the last of that generation that had to die in the desert before they could enter into the promised land. You've lost loved ones? Have you ever lost the person that was closest to you? See, this is real life. This is real life. And just so you know, Aaron doesn't get replaced. There's no assistant. Eleazar, it's his nephew. It's his nephew. He gets replaced as far as the community goes, but not for Moses. So I ask this as a question. Can we face loneliness in Christ? Can you face the loneliness and not pretend everything's okay, but can you look at loneliness in the face and say, yes, I can face loneliness because Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ is coming again. See, this is our cry. When life goes sideways or downhill, you don't get what you want for Christmas, and it isn't the most wonderful time of the year for you. Did Christ come? Did he die? Did he rise triumphant? Is he coming again? Let this season confirm these four affirmations so that we really can face difficulties and disappointments with Christ. Amen.